Amen. Thank you, Brother Trevor. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter number 42. And while you're turning there, I want to say it's good to have Brother, is it Diaz? Is that right, Brother Diaz, missionary to the Philippines? And God has been doing a work in the Philippines for years and years and years. And we praise the Lord for so many good missionaries that God has sent there. And Brother, we're glad you're here tonight. And I hope that you'll feel loved and blessed by being here. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 42. And I want to look at one verse here tonight in this chapter, and then we're going to look at some other verses and teach you what the Lord has given me here tonight. And hopefully God will get in it. Amen. And if He don't, we're in trouble. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 42 and verse number 3. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and read the first three verses here. The Bible says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." This is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Verse 3, here's what the Lord Jesus is prophesied to be. The Bible says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth." I want to focus there on the first part of verse number 3, where the Bible says about the Lord Jesus that a bruised reed shall he not break. You know what that says about our Savior tonight? It says that the Lord Jesus Christ was a gentle man. As we have preached before and as we have recognized, amen, from the Scripture, that thank God tonight He does not throw the clay away. He does not discard those that have messed up tonight, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I want to look tonight at this and maybe glean some things from verse number 3, and then we're going to look at some things about the life of Jonah tonight. And I want to teach on the subject of bruised brethren. Bruised brethren tonight. I thank God tonight that we serve a God of a second chance. And you and I, when we get bruised and when we mess up, sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes it's just church hurt. If you hang around church long enough, you're going to get hurt. Some of the most cruel people in the world are God's people. I guess it's because maybe when you love somebody so deeply, it hurts deeply when they hurt you back. Amen? So let's look tonight at some things on bruised brethren, and how that you and I can be like the Lord, and how can we help to restore some of these individuals. I was telling a brother this morning that our church has been a place that God has used to take people that are hurting, people that have been mistreated, and people that have been wronged, people that have been wounded in the work of God. And God seems to have brought them to this place under our pastor and the leadership here at this church. And this church has been a place of healing. It's been a place where it just seems like through those doors, there's a lot of bruised people that come through there. And you don't know that they're bruised when they first come in, because it's easy to try to mask it and cover it up. But the truth is, a lot of people come in the house of God and they don't have it all together. Their life is messed up, and they come in with their heart is hurting. On the outside, you see one thing, but what's going on the inside is totally different. And I'm thankful tonight that our God does not discard bruised people. He does not throw it away, but to the contrary, He restores them. The Bible says, "A bruised reed shall He not break." He doesn't throw it away. He's not through with it. Amen. He takes it in because He's a gentle and a loving and a merciful Savior. I want to give you seven things tonight that I wrote down here on how you and I can respond to these bruised brethren. When they come into the house of God, maybe someone, one of them sits next to you. Maybe some of y'all, amen, you look over and there's somebody new sitting there. Maybe when you're out door knocking and somebody that you meet is a child of God. And man, they've got a testimony, but on the other side of that threshold of that door is somebody that is hurting, somebody that has been bruised. Maybe they're even backslidden out of the house of God and they've been through some things. And so let's look at tonight at what we can do when we are dealing with bruised brethren. Let me give them to you. Number one, we need to recognize their bruising. Recognize their bruising. The Bible said there in verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break. And it's easy sometimes to want to correct someone, but you know what we need to do more than just correct them immediately is to try to understand where that individual is hurting. Now, how is it do we recognize their bruising? Number one, you got to discern their pain. You got to understand that you're going to have some discernment. And what appears many times to be a person that is angry, actually many times is a person that's been hurt. And because angry people come across as, not as hurt people, but hurt people come across as angry people, and you have to discern their pain. Recognize that this individual has been bruised. Not only discern their pain, but you've got to discover the problem. Now, the problem's going to take a little while to get it out. But you know, God has given us the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God gives us wisdom and discernment to discover what is really going on. Let me show it to you. Look at Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs in chapter number 20, there's a verse over here that you and I, when we are dealing with people, and God's going to put people in your path, and you're going to have to learn how to discover the problem as you recognize that they are bruised individuals. Chapter 20, verse number 5, look at what the Bible says. We're talking about counseling. When you're counseling a person, look at verse 5. The Bible says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. I mean, it ain't shallow. It's not on the surface. There's something going on way down deep inside a person's heart that's been bruised. And look at what the Bible says. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Do you see that? And you're going to have some wisdom and some discernment and some understanding to understand what is going on as you discover the problem with that bruised brother or that bruised sister that you come in contact with. Don't you want to be in the business of helping people? Man, I've heard preachers in the past, you know, and they're preaching in a wild way, and they say, bless God, the door swings both ways. And it does. I understand what they're saying. But the truth is, we want it to swing in. Amen? We ain't trying to run people off. We're not trying to beat them down and send them out and say, look at us, we're an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. No, we want to help some bruised individuals. So discover the problem. Not only that, I'm talking about recognize the bruising. Don't deepen the wound while you're doing it. Don't make it worse. A bruised person does not need another bruise. Amen. We're in the business of healing people. So don't deepen the wound with your words. Or maybe an opinion. Sometimes it's just better, amen, to draw it out and just to be quiet. Love on somebody. Amen. Take them a meal. Pray with them. Take them out to eat. Listen to them. But recognize that this individual has been hurt. They've been bruised, and the Lord don't throw them away, and we shouldn't either. Amen. Don't deepen the wound. Number four, demonstrate some compassion. Boy, that's a dirty word in the Independent Baptist Church, isn't it? Compassion. We ought to handle some wounded people the way that Christ handled those individuals. You know how he handled them? He did it with tenderness. He's a tender Savior. He's a gentle Savior. Pastor last night was teaching in the Bible Institute. I'll show you the verses that he taught. It was a wonderful teaching, and you ought to go back and watch it at Brother Joey's on his YouTube page. But look at James chapter 3. I want to show you what you need to pray for. And Pastor taught this last night in a very, in an exhaustive way. It wasn't exhausted fully, but it was much more than what I'm going to do here. I just want to read you these verses. And you ought to pray when you're dealing with bruised saints, bruised brethren, for wisdom. Because you're going to need wisdom and understanding when you are recognize the bruising, you're discerning the pain, you're discovering the problem, you're not deepening the wound, but you are demonstrating some compassion. And when you get wisdom from above, verse 17, look at it, the Bible says, but wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then it's what? Peaceable. And number three, look at what it is. It's gentle. It's gentle. And listen tonight, we need some gentleness when we're dealing with people. And it's easy to be entreated. It's approachable. It's full of mercy. Boy, this is the kind of Christian I want to be. The Bible says in good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Some people don't need you to straighten them out. They need you to help them to stand back up on their feet and go on for God again. So number one, recognize the bruising. I'm talking about how to help bruised brethren. Number one, recognize the bruising. Number two, we need to receive their burden. Receive their burden. Look at Galatians in chapter number 6. Galatians in chapter number 6 and verse, you all know these verses, it's nothing new. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what restoration takes? It requires getting close enough to hurting people, bruised people, wounded people, and you and I must carry what is weighing them down. You see, when you get close to somebody, you take the burden and you say, hey, you don't have to carry this alone. You've been toting this thing around all by yourself for all these years. That's the reason the house of God is such an important place to come. Because when you come together, we all come with our burdens. But when we come together, you know what we do? We help bear one another's burdens. We get underneath that thing and help to carry that thing. You say, how do you do that? How do you receive the burden of a wounded, bruised individual? Number one, you got to listen to their story. Listen to their story. Everybody wants to tell their story, don't they? We are experts at trying to, amen, tell what happened to us, but really, you know what that individual needs? They need you to listen to them. Give them room to tell you what happened, why they're bruised, why they're hurting, why they're bitter, why they're angry, why they quit, why they stopped going to church. Listen to their story. If you're going to bear their burdens, amen, you got to figure out what in the world's going on in their heart. And you got to listen to their story. Number two, you got to learn their struggle. You see, don't assume that you understand the pain that they're going through. I've had people, you know, you try to, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, regurgitate your problems on a saint because you're trying to get them to bear your burden, you know. And it's like, oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, I know exactly what you're going through. The truth is, you don't. Now, some of us have been through some things, but don't assume that you understand the pain that an individual has gone through. I mean, especially if you haven't gone through anything similar to that. One of the blessings of having a hurt or a bruise or a problem, when you heal, is down the road, God will use it for you to help somebody else. Because you do have an element of understanding in your heart. As somebody that's been through a divorce, and you meet someone that's going through a divorce, and you say, hey, I understand to a degree what you're going through. Or if you lost a child and you buried a baby, or ladies had a miscarriage, or whatever it might be, and you meet somebody that's going through that, you could say, hey, I understand because you have learned their struggle because you've been through the same struggle. Receive their burden, and then lift their load. Help that person to carry it because it's too heavy for them. Many times that's why people, they can't go on any longer because there's nobody there to bear their burden. Lift the load and then love that individual through their bruising, through their hurt. Don't abandon somebody. Because healing takes time. And this is not going to happen overnight. Sometimes people don't need an answer nearly as much as they just need someone who will stay in their life and say, hey, I ain't going anywhere. And I'm here, and I'm going to help lift that load. I'm going to get under that burden with you. Amen. You're not alone. Let's carry this thing together. Amen. And I recommend when you carry it, go ahead and carry it to the foot of the cross. Amen. And just go ahead and cast it down there at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Don't pick it up. Just give it to Him. Amen. Because His yoke is easy and His burden's light. Amen. Get up in that yoke with the Lord. And I like what Brother Earl Hughes used to say. You know, he said, when you get in the yoke with the Lord, he said, one of the greatest things about it, he said, every now and then, he said, you bump up next to Him. Amen. Oh, I like it when you bump up next to the Lord. Receive their burden. Number three, remove the bitterness in their heart. Now, listen, I know you can't do it, but we're talking about how do you deal with these bruised individuals? You know what they are? They're bitter. It's easy to get bitter, isn't it? Sometimes you're bitter and you don't even know it. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. We know these verses. Verse number 15. Look at what it says here. Looking diligently, Hebrews 12 verse 15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, it's like it comes out of nowhere, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, the hurt may have been caused by somebody else, but you know what bitterness does? It doesn't hurt the somebody else. It hurts you. Amen. It is the most deadly thing to your walk with God. It's bitterness. And you say, what do I got to do? Well, if you're going to remove the bitterness, number one, you have got to identify the root. You're going to have to find out where the thing began. Where did it start? What was the event? What was the word that was said? What was the betrayal? What was the wound? What was the bruise where this thing began? You got to identify that root, and then you have to admit the resentment that is in your heart. Because healing requires honesty about what is growing in your heart. We don't like to be honest with ourselves sometimes. I'm not bitter. I don't have any resentment. I'm not going on with me. Oh yeah. I'm telling you, bitterness is something that you got to admit. I am bitter. I am bruised. I am hurt. I've been let down. Bitter at myself. Bitter at my wife, bitter at the pastor, bitter at the independent Baptist, amen, bitter at the brethren, whatever it might be, but you got to admit it tonight. To remove it, identify it, admit it, and then number three, you're going to have to release it. You're going to have to let it go, because forgiveness does not declare that what happened to you was right. It's not the fact that you're saying that everything was right and everything was meant, was the direct will of God. God allows things to... You know what? Listen, Romans 8:28 says all things do what? They work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, but they work together for good. God can take the sorrowful things and the sinful things, amen, and the simple things. He can take all the things that happen in our life and He works it together for good. It's like medicine. Medicine is a chemical combination of a bunch of things. And when you take something, I've heard before that there are some things in medicine that you can take that will heal you. But if it's not mixed with another chemical compound, it will kill you. So God can take this poison and this harmful thing and this thing, and He can put it with this thing and this thing and this thing. And when He puts it all together, He can use it and work it together for good if you love God and you're the called according to His purpose. Now listen, this thing of releasing the offender, it does not say that what happened was right. But that thing, it is you refusing to remain imprisoned by your offender and the offense. How many are imprisoned by the past? What happened to them? It was a moment in time when something happened and that root of bitterness sprang up and they were bruised and they were hurt. And now Here they are. They harbor all this stuff in their heart, and they have never released it at the foot of the cross. Cast in that tree, as Pastor preached about over there in the Old Testament, when those bitter waters come in your life, amen. You better find a tree called Calvary's tree and put it in the bitter water so they can be made sweet again. Release the offender. That doesn't mean that you are trying to restore a relationship with somebody that hurt you. Because the truth is, let me show you. Luke chapter 17. Look at this. Now, this does not give us an alibi to remain bitter in your heart. But I want to show you something. Because there's a perfect balance in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 17 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Now, this is a brother. And look at what this says. "And if he repent, forgive him." Now, this does not mean that you have a reason to hate, that you have a reason to stay bitter and to wish harm and destruction on that individual. But the Lord is saying this, amen, there's no need to try to restore a relationship and for forgiveness to take place as far as this restoration until that brother gets right with God and gets right with you. It's conditional. Did you see it? If he repent, forgive him. So release the offender, but don't let bitterness in your heart if they decide they don't want to get right with God and don't want to get right with you. Just take that thing, amen, put it in the bitter waters, amen, put the tree in the water, let the waters be made sweet, and get up and enjoy the goodness of the Lord and listen to the birds that'll sing in your heart again. Release the offender. Refuse the contamination of this thing. Because Hebrews warns that bitterness will cause many to be defiled. And you cannot change what a person does to you, but by the grace of God, you can keep what they did to you from changing who you are. I like what Pastor says. Don't let another person determine what kind of Christian you're going to be. Brother Danny Farley used to say, if you let a hypocrite get between you and God, that means the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. Amen. So remove the bitterness. Number four, restore that person with meekness. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. The goal is not to just rebuke them for rebuke's sake, but the goal tonight is restoration. Don't you want some restoration? I like peace in my life. I want peace in my home, peace in my church, peace with my children, peace with my future grandchildren, peace, amen, in the house of God, peace with the brethren. And if it be possible, as much as it be possible, amen, live peaceably, the Bible says, with all men. Sometimes it's not possible, but I'm going to strive for it, and I want to restore some things with meekness. You got to approach them humbly. Don't approach that individual, amen, as if you got it all figured out. The Bible said right there, considering thyself. But by the grace of God, there go you and I, right? Outside of the grace of God, you got to approach this thing humbly. You got to address that individual gently. Truth doesn't have to be cruel. Really, truth sometimes is already harsh enough, isn't it? Amen. I mean, you don't have to make the gospel offensive, right? It's already offensive enough. The Lord Jesus is called a rock of offense. So when you deal with something, we ought to address this with gentleness. As a matter of fact, gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? One of them. Out of the 9 fruit, the Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Boy, that's something that's not preached much among our circles, is it? But we ought to dress them gently, assist them patiently. Restoration is often a process rather than just a moment in time. It's going to take you some patience, because the truth is, when you get bruised, they last a while, don't they? Bruises don't go away like that. They turn different colors, and amen. I mean, sometimes you're like, man, I got a bruise. It's been on there like 3 weeks and still got it. Because it's not a moment of time when it heals, and wounds don't heal overnight. Wounds take time to heal, and even when they heal, there's still scars left behind as a reminder of that wound. And then you ought to aim for recovery. Don't try to win an argument with an individual. The goal is to win that person. Amen? When a surgeon uses a knife, he doesn't use it like a butcher. He uses it with purpose. He uses that with skill. I'm glad when I go to surgery, the surgeon don't come in with a meat cleaver. Amen? I'm laying there on the table, and man, I mean, he's just ready to go at it, you know? But he goes in there with a purpose. And you and I, we ought to go in. When we are restoring these bruised brethren, we ought to do it with this spirit of meekness. And we ought to do it, amen, with some skill and some wisdom and some gentleness. Number five, remind that bruised brother of the mercy of God. Aren't you glad tonight for the mercy of God? Let's turn your Bible to the book of Jonah. We'll hurry through these. The book of Jonah. I love the story of Jonah. What an amazing book tucked away right here in the minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. If you can find it, at the end of your Old Testament. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, look at what the Bible says here. Well, if I can get there myself. Jonah chapter 3, here we go. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Thank God for the mercy of God. We serve a merciful God tonight. Jonah had failed God. He had fled from the presence of God. He had fell in his Christian life. But you know what God wasn't through? He wasn't through with Jonah. Amen. He was not finished with him because mercy came running. You say, what happened in Jonah's life? Mercy, amen, met Jonah in his failure. Listen, Jonah ran from God, but you know what God did? God ran to Jonah. You know, you can't run from God. That's a dumb question. That's a dumb statement. Somebody said, "I'm running from God." Really? The one who spoke the worlds into existence, amen? The one who sits upon his throne and has it all under control? You can't run from God. When you try to, in his failure, he ran from God, but God ran to Jonah. Mercy met him in his failure. Mercy met Jonah in the fish. Did you see that? Even Jonah's place of chastening, the fish, it became a place of preservation in his life. Mercy not only ran to Jonah in his failure, and it ran to Jonah in the belly of a fish. Mercy ran to Jonah in his prayer, amen? Jonah chapter number 2 shows you and I that you can call upon God even from the depths. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." What a good place to pray. Amen. "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All my billows, thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet would I look again toward thy holy temple." You know what? God has a way, amen, of getting your attention, amen. Getting your eyes back on the Lord. Getting your eyes back on the holy temple. Getting your eyes back on the will of God. Amen. And you know why? Because the mercy of God came running in the fish and in his failure, in his prayer life. And you know what mercy did? Mercy met Jonah with another opportunity, because in chapter 3 and verse number 1, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah," the what? Second time. You and I serve a God who is a God of a second chance. You know what Jonah had to do? Jonah, number one, he had to die. The Bible said there that he died. I believe he died. Amen. He talks about it there in the text. The Bible says in verse 6, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever." Sounds like eternity. Amen. He talks about, "Out of the belly of hell cried I. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." I'm just saying, if God's going to use you and I, you're going to have to learn how to die. And God may have to put you through some things. Amen. And these individuals that we're trying to help, they're going to have to die to self. They're going to have to die to their plan, to their will. And amen, before Jonah went to Nineveh, God had to put Jonah in hell. Amen. That's where he went. He said it. He said, I'm in the belly of hell. You talk about getting a burden. I mean, here's a man who didn't have no burden at all in chapter number 1. He ended up in the fish's belly. Mercy was running to him. And the Bible says he went to the depths of hell. Amen. The earth, you know, with his, her bars were compassed about him. I mean, he talks about this is a man who had died and went to the depths of hell. And he describes it in chapter number 2. Amen. And then God birthed him again, resurrected him. And God used him. And you talk about a burden, man. You and I, you know, we won't get a burden until we see hell for what it really is. Jonah died. He went to Nineveh, but he went to hell first. He got a burden. He ran from God, but you know what? God still wanted him. He rebelled against God, but God still ran after him. He failed God, but God still called him. And he fell, but you know what God did? Raised him up again. And your worst chapter, you and I got some bad chapters in life, don't we? But I'm glad with God, your worst chapter ain't got to be your last chapter. Because when God steps into your story, amen, he's still writing your book. Amen. You can get up and you can go on for God. And you know what I found out about God is your greatest misery can become your greatest ministry if you'll let God use it. That's what happened in Jonah's life. Amen. Jonah, amen, got belched up there on the shores of Nineveh, and God turned that thing around for the glory and honor of God. And you and I, you know what we have to major on? We have to major on the fact that our God, even though they're bruised brethren, and maybe tonight you're a bruised brethren tonight, but God can use you because we serve a God who is merciful. Boy, I'm glad he's a merciful God. He's full of mercy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. If you think you've exhausted it today, guess what? If your sun has set, it's going to rise again. Amen? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Number 6, rebuild that relationship. You say, how do I rebuild the relationship? Well, the greatest goal isn't just getting them back in a pew, and that's a good goal. I want to get some people back in the house of God, get them back under old time preaching again, back plugged into the saints of God. But I'll tell you what our biggest goal was for somebody that has been bruised is getting their heart back in fellowship with God again. You see, when you're trying to help restore a relationship from a bruised brother, you're going to have to teach them to separate God from man's failures. Because God ain't never let you down. He's never hurt you. Amen. Now, he may hurt you a little bit, but he ain't never harmed you. You say it that way. But I'm telling you tonight, what a Christian did to you is not a reflection of who Christ is. And God is love, and the Bible says charity never faileth. Preaching will fail. Amen. Sunday school will fail, soul winning will fail, you name it, what we do, it will fail. But guess what? There's one thing that will not fail, and that is charity. It will not fail. It suffereth long and it's kind. And you must teach them that whatever happened to them that made them bruised was not God, that was man. And then you have to get them to start talking to God again. Did you notice what Jonah did? I mean, when he was a bruised brother, he was in the belly of hell, in the belly of a fish. The first thing he did, he was talking to God. And you and I tonight, we ought to get people talking to God again. Praying again, amen. You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, just talk to God like he's sitting next to you, like he's your spouse. Amen. Just, I mean, he's a real person. You ain't got to talk like you're some Catholic, amen, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, quoting scripture as if, amen, it's just vain repetition. But talk to God like he is your heavenly Father, if he is, and like he's your best friend, because he is, amen, like he's the one, amen, that's interested in you, because he is. Get them talking to God again. One of the greatest encouragement for people is when God actually hears their prayer. And they know God heard them, and God loved them, and he listened to them, and he's working in their heart again. And get them to surrender the hurt to God. Give God your hurts tonight. Give God all your questions and your anger and your disappointment and your pain, your bruises and your bitterness. Just give it to God. And then if you're going to rebuild that relationship, you got to strengthen their walk with God. You say, how do we do that? Encourage them to pray, get in the scripture, worship God, fellowship with brethren, fellowship with God. Amen. Let that service be rebuilt again in their life. And I say tonight, join a local assembly. Get them in the house of God. You cannot make it without a local New Testament Bible believing King James, amen, church with an old-fashioned preacher that'll preach to you. You can't make it without it. It's the one thing that helps cultivate our relationship with God. Sometimes I come in here and I'm discouraged. Maybe I'm upset at myself, or maybe something happened, or maybe there's been a letdown. And boy, I tell you, it ain't very long before Brother Jason starts singing some songs, amen. And I'm telling you, Brother Lauren gets up and starts singing, you know. And I mean, listen, we're on our feet, we're shouting the victory. Brother Clark raises his hand and says, glory to God. You know what happens, amen? That discouragement, that hurt, that bruise begins to dissipate and leave, amen, because there's something about the assembly of the saints of God. The Bible said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't confuse a bad shepherd with the good shepherd. Amen. Because he ain't never been a bad shepherd, even though there's some bad under shepherds. Because pastors will fail you and hurt you, but a Christian can disappoint you. But I'm telling you, we serve a God that remains faithful. Deuteronomy says he is the faithful God, and he ain't never hurt you. And lastly, I'm just going to mention it. Number 7, our goal with a bruised brother is to recommission them for a second chance. Get up and go on for God. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and he rises up again. Jonah, the Bible says that the Lord came to him a second time, and you know what he said to Jonah? Arise, get up, go to Nineveh. Don't stay down. Get up. That's the first step. You got to get up. That's what the Lord said. Get up, Jonah. Get up out of the dumps. Get up out of the belly of hell. Get up out of the dirt and go on to that place where I want you to go. You say, why? Because number one, there's still a calling on that man's life and on that woman's life. God still had something for Jonah to do. There's still a calling. Number two, there's still a commission. He said, arise, go. Go. That's still the commission for the child of God. Go. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go to your job. Go to your Starbucks barista, amen. Go to the restaurants. Go to the highways and hedges. Go to the schools. Go to the colleges. Go to your workplace, amen. But go, because God has a commission for you and I to get up and go on and do what God wants us to do again. There's still a calling. There's still a commission. There's still a city for you and I to go to. Our city's different, amen. I live in Shepherd. You might live, amen, wherever you live, Cleveland. Hey, here we go at the church in New Caney. Maybe some people live down in Houston, but I'm telling you, there's still a Nineveh that needs what Jonah has to give. And you and I, amen, hey, we may be like Jonas, and we may be dealing with some bruised brethren, but our job is to encourage them to get up and to go to the city that God wants them to go to. And there's still, lastly, there's still a chapter to write. Because failure did not get the final word in Jonah's life. God did. Amen. And when you're dealing with bruised and backslidden brethren, you got to recognize the bruising. Don't ignore the wound. Receive their burden. Don't make them carry it alone. Remove the bitterness from their heart. Don't let the wound become a root. Restore them with meekness. Don't break the bruised reed, as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he didn't throw it away. Remind them of God's mercy, that God's not finished with them. Rebuild their relationship with God. Bring their heart back to relationship with Christ. And then recommission them for a second chance. Help them to discover that our God is a God of a second chance. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. What a blessing. So tonight, as we deal with these bruised brethren, may God help us to breathe truth, invest truth in their life. Amen. Because you stay in this thing long enough, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get wounded, you're going to get bruised. But we serve a God that's able, amen, to get us from the dumps, from the mire, back in the choir. From the pit, back to the pulpit. Amen? Because He's a God of a second chance. Father, I love You tonight, and I thank You for the encouraging words of God. And Lord, for the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that came to this earth, was born of a virgin, grew up a sinless life. And Lord, You came to be our example. You came to be our Savior. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. But Lord, I love what Your Bible says about You. In the book of Acts, it said that You went about doing good. And Father, help us as we walk about in a lost and dying world and in a world full of people that are born again, but Father, maybe have bruises in their life. Bruised brethren, help us tonight to be, Lord, a church that helps to restore them back, Lord, to what You have called and commanded them to do. And Lord, I love You tonight. Be with our pastor once again. Touch his body physically. Heal him. And Father, raise him up, Father, and use our church to be a church as it has already been, Lord, the testimony of our church is a church that's a place where people come to get healing and help and hope. And I pray that You would help us to continue to do those things which are pleasing to You. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said...